Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
And we're coming to you today, Sunday night, after an incredibly stressful Purdue victory over Maryland. 31-29 was the final score. Purdue hangs on in the final minute to win a game yet again, and it seems maybe Purdue's luck has turned. Maybe we're going to win close games in the last minute now.
I'll be honest, Ledman. I have no feel for this team at all.
No, I don't either. I was going to mention that in the second half of this podcast. It's like, are we good? Are we a good team that plays bad? Or are we a bad team that has gotten lucky a couple times in these last two games? But really, who we are is the team that lost to Syracuse and Penn State. I don't know.
I think we might just muck it up. We might just be that team. Only weirdly, we do it by throwing the ball a ton.
Usually a team who drags you down is a team who can control the clock and only gives you so many possessions. And Purdue is not that team.
Not that team. Not us. And yet, do you want to jump right into the game?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll go in the game first, and then after hours, we're recording about an hour later than normal. I'm a little sleepy. I'm a little jittery. So when we get even further into the night, we'll discuss your trip to Maryland.
Okay. Fair enough.
Did we play well?
We
won on the road.
There were parts of the game where we
played well. It's a Big Ten game. I hear that's good.
So parts of the game we played well. I'll tell you, the first quarter could hardly have started worse. You know, Purdue came out, tried a pitch on the first play, lost, I believe, 12 yards.
It's going to shock you, Ledman. I was on a golf course and half caught the first bit.
Well, so I'm telling you some good information here then. Yeah, first play. We tried to toss. We lost 13 yards on the first play from scrimmage.
Say what? How far was the toss?
Well, I mean, you know, it bounced. O'Connell tried to toss it to Downing. And it bounced off his shoulder. So the toss was
an incomplete handoff.
I mean, kind of. It hit off his shoulder and just went backwards. So he ended up losing 13 yards on the very first Purdue play from scrimmage. So it was a bad harbinger just right out of the gate. Purdue went 3-and-out at that point, punted it away to Maryland, who then just absolutely saw no resistance on their first drive. Only 6 plays, 69 yards, touchdown. Purdue just immediately down 7-0. And we were sitting in a section of Purdue fans, and you could just see the morale just immediately crater.
Yeah. I think you start off the season the way Purdue did, and you play that Penn State game. You play that Syracuse game. It's hard to have much faith that we have the ability to turn the dial up being down. It's kind of one of those where you expect, oh, we're on the road. Once again, this is kind of a prove-it game. And I know we went up to Minnesota, somehow won, but I think anyone honestly watching that's like, ooh, Minnesota, not a good football team. Purdue did what they needed to do, but that was not an impressive showing.
No, not at all.
And then you immediately set yourself back. And I think hanging over the season a lot to this point is Aiden O'Connell, who, you know, we were both confident about. It's the one thing we definitely felt good about. And he's not been that good.
No, he certainly hasn't looked like the player we saw last year.
And, you know, there's reasons for that make you nervous because, oh, yeah, we don't have – well, in theory, we're going to have an All-American wide receiver, but as good as Charlie Jones's numbers are, it still doesn't quite feel the same as David Bell or Rondell Moore.
No. I mean, I don't think we're talking out of school by saying he's not as good as either of those two. He's certainly the best Purdue has on the squad right now, but he does not really compare to either one of those guys. But that's no slight on Charlie Jones, because those two are just incredibly special players.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, this game's weird. Maryland's a weird team. They seem permanently dangerous because Tagovailoa is capable of doing anything at any time, it seemed.
Yeah, once Purdue really started getting pressure on him and forced him to run, he looked really good throwing off the run. Always was able to find his guy, and as soon as he started scrambling, you were getting a little worried as a Purdue fan.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's been very positive this year is no matter who we're facing, our run defense has been very good.
Yeah, very, very good.
And the fact that we don't have to load the box with 8 people to not get ran over is the only reason we're 4-2. We've been able to put bodies back enough. Because our secondary is still, I mean, we saw what happened once again at the end of halves. When it's just teams load up to pass and we get a little prevent happy. Well, you can't really call the first half a prevent happy because we just let the guy run downfield.
Yeah.
Great play by Tagovailoa. But the fact we do have something on defense that we can hang our hat on, I think, is very important. And it sets the tone in the game and allows us to do some other stuff other places. And the fact we're getting just enough pressure on defense, getting quarterbacks uncomfortable, and this defense is making plays. If nothing else, they are making some plays.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, again, just watching this game, it was so back and forth. There were moments of euphoria. There was moments of despair. So, you know, Purdue.
Man, you were in your feels this game, huh?
I really was. So after Purdue goes down 7 points, they try to drive down the field, only wind up with a field goal after a couple pretty bad mistakes. Finneran actually had to kick 2 field goals because he made the first one, but it was negated by a Purdue penalty. So he had to kick it from 10 yards further back.
Practice
still made
makes
it, no
perfect.
Problem. Yeah, so it made a 39-yarder. Then, you know, Purdue gives us hope again. Tagovailoa gets intercepted by, I think it was Fakiyaseki. No, there was a penalty.
You just made yourself say that name for no reason?
I know. That was so Whew. Disappointing. Yeah, so Purdue intercepts the pass and goes down and gets a touchdown, puts himself up 10-7, and then allows a Maryland field goal 10-10, goes up 17-10, and then that play that you were talking about just absolutely guts Purdue, as it always does in the last minute of a game.
Corey
or a
Trice.
Half. Yes, Corey Trice had the interception. So after the two teams trade punts on 4 consecutive possessions, Maryland gets the ball, and on 1st and 25, Tagovailoa, 68-yard touchdown pass with a Purdue defense that looked like they weren't even on the field. About 14 seconds left in the half, Purdue allows a 68-yard touchdown just out of nowhere.
On 1st and 25.
Yeah, 1st and 25. They'd gotten a penalty previously, and at that point, you really think the half is over. You think there's no way they're going to score. Purdue is going to take a 17-10 lead into halftime. But as Purdue tends to do at the end of halves or the end of a game, they just let their guard down, and suddenly it's a tie game. And man, I mentioned it earlier, but the wind just came out of the Purdue section completely. We were just amazed that we were up 17-10 after the terrible start. 14 seconds left. You've got them 1st and 25. They got to go 68 yards. You think there's no way this is it, and we're going to go in with the lead. And then just that pass, he just catches it. There seems to be no one around him, no one near him. He gets completely behind the defense and just waltzes in for a touchdown. It was just maddening.
Yeah, but thankfully we started the second half on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, the third quarter was a disaster on the offensive side of the ball. It's funny because we talked about when we did the preview for Maryland, one of my reasons I thought Purdue could win is the Maryland defense didn't really generate turnovers. Through their first 5 games, they only had 4 turnovers. Well, in the third quarter alone against Purdue, they had 3 turnovers, 1 interception and 2 fumble recoveries. So it's just amazing.
Yeah. It's why takeaways are so tricky, because last week Purdue got lucky by a Minnesota receiver just batting the ball up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
this
time
it was Charlie Jones taking it and throwing it up in the air in between two just fumbles, not particularly excused fumbles, just fumbles the fumble. But once again, our defense, which can be just mind-breakingly awful, was consistent throughout most of the day. And during that 3-turnover span, no points scored.
Exactly.
Remain 17-17.
I mean, that is so huge that the offense just continuously put the defense in a terrible spot. But in the entirety of the third quarter, despite Maryland having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I hate the way they do this. These ESPN box scores and drive range, they're just terrible. I hate them. Despite having multiple possessions, 3 turnovers, Purdue defense held every single time, allows 0 points in the third quarter, and allows the offense to find a way to get back and take the lead in the fourth. But, I mean, it was just amazing because we asked the defense to do so much in that third quarter.
What'd you think of Tagovailoa?
He didn't really impress me until, like I said, until he got on the run.
Yeah, he moved around really well.
As soon as he was scrambling, he was great. Trying to make plays with the legs, he was great. But overall, I was not terribly impressed.
I think it was the offense as a whole, not as much him.
That could be.
I think when the play broke down and it came to him making lengthening the play and throwing on the run, very accurate, good touch. Just I expected more from the Maryland receiver. I thought they were better. And besides the one real big, the two final possessions of the half, it really seemed like our defense did a good job covering, swarming, tackling, and Big Ten's not good.
No, especially the Big Ten West. But I mean, I agree with you to a point. I mean, I think the defense looked really good, and they were.
Jalen Graham was back, and it was noticeable. He was all over the field in the middle. In the middle, where it really becomes, you have to make a tackle right away.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cover a lot of space, and he's very good at both those things.
Yeah, yeah. The Purdue defense was great, except for basically about four plays. You know, there were about four plays in the game that were just disastrous for Purdue. You know, a long pass here on that end of the first half drive, mm-hmm. another long pass on the last Maryland drive when they were going to score. And I mean, it's just, I don't know if it's mental lapses. I don't know if they just, you know, they're clearly tired. The offense made so many mistakes that the defense is out on the field a lot, but it just seems like every game there's about a handful of plays where the defense just completely loses their mind, forgets what they're doing, and allows a play that almost cost Purdue the game. And you know, in two games has cost Purdue the game.
Yeah, that's the – it's – you want to kind of forget and move on, but with each progressive win, those two losses that you could very easily turn into wins for Purdue if they were just a little more disciplined.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – it would not be out of the realm that Purdue is 6-0 right now.
No, not at all.
And that would be rarefied air for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we want to get into this – in this episode, and something that might be happening down south at a football program, the ceiling of Purdue football, I think, is going to come up in some people's minds to decide some things in the future.
Are you talking about Louisville here?
I am talking about the L.
Okay. I think we'll talk about that later in the season. We'll put that aside for now. So let's talk about the end of the game when things really started to get a little bit crazy. So again, still tied 17-17. Maryland has a 12-play, 69-yard drive. Took a little over 4 minutes. Scored on a nice pass by Tagovailoa into the end zone, lining up for the extra point, and Purdue blocks the extra point. So Purdue then is down just 6, 23-17.
Turns out important.
Yeah, turns out very important, and the Maryland fans were so angry that there was no offsides called, and I watched it live, and I watched the replay on the Jumbotron. I you know, I am a homer, I will admit. I don't think he was offsides. I think if you watch the replay, if you watch the frame by frame, he literally just got the best imaginable jump. He timed it perfectly and got through there and got the block.
Did you ever do that on Madden? Like old school Madden? Yeah. Oh, such a good feeling. Like, out of things you could do on a football field, Ledman, what? Like, is that up there at the top? Like, it's better than scoring a touchdown, right?
I would think, like, blocking a field goal or an extra point to, like, win a game or, you know, something like that would be one of the
pick
coolest
six
feelings.
Might be better, especially because you like to
pick
run.
Pick six. Yeah, I do love to run. So that would definitely be up there. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I would maybe, like, a punt return for a touchdown would be pretty cool, too, because that's pretty rare.
That's
rare as well. So, you know, Purdue down by six, gets the ball, takes it down the field. A pretty good drive. A couple great catches. TJ Sheffield had one for 11 yards where he really, really made a great catch. And Purdue goes ahead by 1 point. And you just think,
is that a lot? Is 1 point a lot?
Yeah, 1 point is a lot. You think there was about 3 minutes left in the game at that point, and every Purdue fan in the stadium was like, well, this isn't going to be it at all. I mean, there's a lot of time left. But the Purdue defense once again came out, forced a three and out, didn't allow a single yard from Maryland in that next drive, and they are on their own 17, and they have to punt the ball away. And you think maybe that's it. You think maybe that's enough. Purdue got the ball with about 2:25 left, and you're thinking, can they force Maryland to use their timeouts, and can they run enough clock off that if we just get down, maybe we can kneel this game away and not have any worries? But of course, that was not the case, because in a good way, because Aiden O'Connell found Payne Durham for 56 yards, and he drags about half the Maryland defense all the way down to the 2-yard line. And I wanted to ask you about what Brohm did after that. Oh, so I don't know if that means you were happy with it or angry about it.
No, we have talked over this almost 2 years now doing this podcast, how when Brohm gets a chance to think about something for a while, he can get so freaking convoluted. And I get it. You want to run time off the clock. Sure you do. You also definitely want to score the touchdown, which means for sure you're not going to lose the game. And in college football, with the way that the clock stops, with the way our defense works in prevent defense, anything over 24 seconds is a threat.
Yeah, you're not
so wrong. We risked first down and second down. We had Aiden O'Connell from the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
Take two QB sneaks where he wasn't trying to score. Get down on the 1-yard line to force two timeouts out of Maryland's hands. And then we are stuck with a 3rd and 1. Our running game, which I believe averaged about 1.8 yards a rush this game.
Yeah, not a lot of running today.
Which is Saturday. Pretty normal for the way that we perform.
Yeah.
And he decided, oh, it would be better to waste two timeouts and risk not getting a touchdown. If we don't score a touchdown there, Ledman, and we kick a field goal, we are up 4. And when they march down the field and score in 30 seconds like they did, we lose.
Okay, I hear that, but I completely disagree with you.
You think it's good to go down on the 1 and not... What are you losing scoring that touchdown?
No, listen, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And here's why.
Oh my God.
Purdue takes over after that Payne Durham play, which again, incredible catch and run by Payne Durham, dragged half the Maryland team with him. I saw him running around the field after the game. He had he must have gotten cleated or something because he had a huge thing of blood running down his leg. But he you know, made the play that mattered. So at this point, it's 1st and goal. As you said, the ball is on the 2. There is 2:08 left, and Maryland has
2 minutes and 8? Are you sure about that?
Maybe 2:13.
I thought it was less than.
Yeah, so it's 2:13. That's right. I'm looking at it right now. Okay. So 2:13, Maryland uses a timeout to stop the clock. Then it's 1st and goal. O'Connell runs for 1 yard, 2:08 on the clock. Maryland takes their final timeout. So that means Purdue can allow basically 40 seconds to run off. If Purdue had simply run in there on 1st down, there would have been, 2:07 or so, 2:05 left on the clock. And then you would be giving the ball back to Maryland with 2:05.
Okay.
Yes, you're right.
And what's the worst thing that happens if we score that touchdown? They go down and score?
Yes.
It's 2 minutes. They go down and score. We get the ball back.
Yeah, but the play calling of Maryland changes completely if you only give them a 1:23 like we did versus...
Yeah, it might have helped us more.
I don't know. I disagree.
Look, hold on. I seriously can't believe you were taking this
on. Oh, come on.
No, because what is the worst thing that happens? They have to drive the full length of the field in 2 minutes. That's the worst thing that could happen, right?
Yes.
It's
not the worst thing that could happen.
What do you mean it's not the worst thing that could happen?
Well...
The other worst thing is they score and then what, go for an onside kick?
No, right. Not the worst thing that could happen. You're failing to account for the fact that they had two timeouts, which with
no, why does that matter? That doesn't change the worst case scenario.
That's what I'm saying. It's not the worst case scenario, but your argument fails to account for the fact
you
that
you haven't
Purdue
let me say
them.
My argument.
Okay, fine, go.
Worst case scenario. They get the ball with 2 minutes left and go down and score like they did, and we have the ball with 1 minute. Maybe we can actually get a field goal to win the game. The worst case scenario is 3rd down, we go for it and get stopped. And now we're kicking a field goal to go up 4, or we're going for it on 4th down.
I assume they would have gone for it on 4th down should that have been the scenario.
So they go for it on 4th down. If they miss it, Maryland just has to get into field goal range to win. If they go for the field goal and get it, Maryland gets the ball back with, enough time to score a touchdown and we lose. It made no sense.
I completely do. I think you're so wrong.
What is your logic behind it? Timeouts?
Yes.
You haven't said, what does that mean?
We forced Maryland to use their two final
timeouts. They didn't
timeouts.
Need them. You don't need them in college football. They went down the field in 34
no.
seconds.
No. You do need them in college football.
You don't.
If the Purdue defense had made one single play on the next drive.
They didn't.
The Purdue defense allowed guys to run out of bounds rather than tackling an inbounds despite multiple opportunities.
Okay, so if they do that and we don't score, which
would
happen, we lose.
The game.
There was no way to lose if we just take that touchdown. We would at least get the ball back and be able to try to score to win.
There was certainly a way to lose. It would have just been an overtime. So I get your point in that regard. My point is, Purdue ultimately did score the touchdown, and we forced them to use their two timeouts.
Got lucky.
No, I don't
think so. Two timeouts is not enough to bring in the possibility of losing the game.
No, I just – you're wrong.
No, you are wrong.
You're absolutely wrong.
Please make this a poll.
Oh, I will.
Make it the question. You are so wrong.
I will. You are wrong. So Purdue scores a touchdown, goes up by 8. Maryland faces basically no resistance from the Purdue defense.
Zero.
Allows wide receivers to run out of bounds instead of tackling them in bounds. Tagovailoa escapes a couple times. And, you know, if Purdue had just sacked him, on one play, as they got close, I believe on a first down at about midfield, the game was basically over because that's going to take you another 20 to 30 seconds. Maybe they have to go out and spike it. I mean, it would have changed the whole complexion of the game. But the Purdue defense couldn't simply make one play in the middle of the field, so they go down and score. They have to go for two to tie the game, and they convert, and the whole entire stadium erupts. And then I just hear somebody yell, "There's a flag! There's a flag!" And we look, and, you know, sure enough, we see the flag. Flag on Maryland, so they've got to redo it, and he misses. They miss the second attempt. Purdue recovers the onside kick, kneels the game away, and Purdue walks away with a 31-29 victory. Just absolutely bananas.
Yeah, it's, once again, hard to feel good about a Purdue victory.
Yeah, it really was.
Yes, we made some plays. We scored two late touchdowns. In theory, we got stops before that. But in the moment where the metal is poured out and taking shape, just we don't have it. I don't understand how our defense is so solid most of the game.
Yeah, quarter, they were nearly flawless.
I don't know why teams don't just no huddle.
Yeah.
Pass 90% of the time. Worth a try.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it would be the perfect way to combat this Purdue defense. So there's the game. We're going to take a break. We can talk about my experience at the University of Maryland game. Casey's going to get to answer all those questions that he asked me that I did not have answers to in the previous podcast. We'll be right back.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
And we are back. So as promised, I was in attendance at this game against Maryland.
Because... we don't need you to set the table. I got this.
All right.
What time did you and your buddy Valdez show up?
So Matt and I, we left my place around 9. We had reached. I reached out. So I reached out on Twitter the night before to see if anybody was having a tailgate that they wouldn't mind. Myself and a couple
H&R
of,
writer to exactly. Just a little podcast guy, just a little golden black over here.
That's exactly how I talk.
SB Nation, professional.
That's exactly how I talk. I don't know how you've gotten it down so much. I had a couple folks respond, but I want to give a shout out to Craig.
What up, Craig?
At CTrain2300 on Twitter, Purdue Farm Grad, and
CTrain B Train.
Nope. He's lived in Maryland, lives here now, was nice enough to invite us, said, hey, here's where we're going to be. This is what we're going to be driving. Here's my phone number. If you guys want to come, bring some donuts since it's going to be, we're going to get there around 9.
Did he know about your donut fetish?
No, I don't think he did. Although okay. He does.
Does he know you run by it? Did he know you were going to run by it in the morning?
It is possible he did because he is a podcast listener. So depending on how close he listens, he may know how much I love donuts. So we did not obviously go to the one that is not open near me. We just stopped at a Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a couple.
That's fine. Hey, donuts don't need to be fancy.
Exactly. And the one that I would normally go to, there was two donut shops I would normally go to. They're both the opposite direction I needed to go by like 20 minutes.
How far is the stadium?
It's about a half an hour to 40 minutes. It takes
a
little bit
longer. You left at 9?
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed already, Ludwin.
I know. I figured you would be. So then we get to Maryland and we face the problem that I knew we would face.
Parking.
Parking is an absolute nightmare.
So where is the tailgate
on campus? So the tailgate, there's a couple different locations.
Multi-tailgate.
Yes. Okay. But for this one we went to, it was basically in the parking lot of the Xfinity Center.
Probably
where
makes parking
they play
worse.
Basketball. Yeah. But I mean, we didn't figure we were going to be able to park there, but we were following the signs that said, like credit card parking this way. I'm like, I don't care what they cost. I'll, pay whatever as long as I can park.
Big time H&R rider over here.
Exactly. Guys. So we're driving along and all of them just say prepaid only.
Ah.
Like you had to have bought a pass. So we're just keep driving. Everything is full. Everything is closed. Like you can't even get anywhere. So we're just driving around and their website now says like, all passes have been sold. Try for additional parking near the College Park Metro Station. Well, the College Park Metro Station is like 2 miles from the stadium. And we're like, we are not doing that. So we just like happened to be driving around and saw a visitor's parking sign.
Ooh, a little serendipity?
Yeah, I guess. So I'm like, I don't know where this is going, but I'm going to follow it. So we turn and follow the sign and there's a parking garage. There's no one at the parking garage, like selling like anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cross arm to like get in. You don't have to take a ticket. So we're just like, I guess just go. So we go in and we're like, I really hope there's a spot. Sure enough, spot on the first floor of the parking garage. I just pull in and we just start hoofing it over to the tailgate.
What time is it now? 10 o'clock?
It was close to that by the time we got to the tailgate. But, again, shout out to Craig and his buddies. They had some pretty delicious food. They had the usual.
What'd they have?
They had burgers. They had hot dogs. But they also had a guy had smoked some brisket.
Okay.
And brought that with him.
I'm not hearing anything about crab cake yet.
No, there were no crab cakes, I will say. Although we did earlier today, got some crab cakes. So that was delicious. And we also went to a restaurant on the Friday where we got some crab dip. So I wouldn't let my buddy leave without some crab, so he had plenty. So there was, like I said, there was some good brisket. There was some mac and cheese. Craig's wife had made some lemon bars, which were pretty good. So a lot of good food. We played some cornhole. Okay. Talked to both some Purdue. I won. We won. Matt and I are a pretty good cornhole team, I got to say. Played a lot of college, played a lot of cornhole in college while we were waiting at the paint crew campouts. I will give kudos to Matt. He kind of carried me a little bit. Had one round where he made three in the hole, so you know, that's pretty good.
Shout out, Craig.
You should have shouted out Matt for making them. You're getting your names confused.
Craig brought the beanbags.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So you know, had a good time at the tailgate. Some good homemade mac and cheese was there. Really had a good time talking to some folks. Really good natured, even opponents fans were there. A couple of his buddies, because as I said, the guy lives in Maryland. So talked to some of them. They were really nice. There's apparently a Maryland dorm right behind that parking lot. Mm-hmm. So we had like groups of students just kind of like floating by every now and then. And this girl looked at Matt and I and, you know, did the classic, a college student, I think I'm really clever, and was like, oh, perdon't, and like put her thumb down. And I was like, because, you know, you got to be a little chippy on a game day.
What was your response?
I was like, oh, yeah, you're real original. First time I've heard that one. And she just.
That's the first time I've ever heard of that retort, too.
Well, there you go. Her friends started pushing her, and they're like, oh, because clearly it seemed like they'd been drinking. So, you know, you got an easy audience when you're yelling at drunk college kids. So, a lot of fun there. And with about 25 minutes to go before game time, we started to head up to the stadium and,
packed house, full house.
No.
A lot of tailgaters.
Close. There were a lot of tailgaters. But the thing is with the prepaid parking, half the lots were still empty. But they're like, well, we sold the spots, so we just got to wait till these people come. So, you know, we're walking up to the stadium, and there are people still trying to park with like 15, 20 minutes to go before the game. So, I mean, it's just pure chaos parking on that campus during a game day, it seems.
That's fair. Pretty campus?
Yeah, it's a beautiful campus. You know, we mentioned a couple times while we were walking around that it really doesn't feel like a Big Ten campus because they're like, well, it wasn't until like 10 years ago.
What kind of campus does it feel like?
I mean, it does feel like an ACC campus, kind of like rolling hills.
Okay.
You know, different type of architecture than you really see on most Big Ten campuses. I would say it's better looking architecture, you know, not just like brick buildings. But, that's, you know, it's a completely swallow. Different... It is. It's a completely different view, but, you know, lovely campus, nice to walk around on.
Purdue, don't you listen to him at all. Nice. I think you're gorgeous.
I mean, I think it's gorgeous, too. It's
prettiest just lady at the ball.
There you go. So then we get to the stadium. Entry to the stadium, very easy, no problems. Our seats were very good. We were about the 40-yard line, about 10 rows up behind the Purdue bench.
How much did the tickets cost?
Tickets were $65.
That's not bad.
No.
It's not bad for pretty good seats.
Yeah, they were very good seats. The stadium itself, as I said on the last one, it is just kind of blah. They've got a couple upper decks, but they were not very full. The crowd arrived very late. Mm-hmm. Student section was very quiet. They, of course,
really?
Do the Maryland. Yeah.
Because basketball, very rowdy. Right?
Yeah, basketball fans at Maryland, very loud.
Did they do the flag thing?
They do.
Did they have enough people for the flag?
Yeah, I mean, the student section filled out by the time they did it, but they still weren't very loud. The stadium itself got loud only on a couple of occasions, but there were large sections that were just kind of empty. The second deck behind us, the whole corner was just completely empty. The stadium is smaller than Ross-Ade. I think it's about 53 or 54, 55,000, and it was not full. So not an incredibly intimidating environment, but overall the fans around us were very nice.
Maryland, you know, fans?
Yeah. We had some Maryland fans, but we were largely in a Purdue section just because we were behind the Purdue bench. So a lot of good Purdue fans around us, and even the Maryland fans around us were pretty nice to be around. You know, not a lot of
– Shout out Turtles.
Not a lot of angry drunks, you know, causing trouble. So that was nice.
Did you find any beverages you could have while in the stadium, or was it all beer?
I just left at halftime to go kind of walk around. They did have a beer place like right behind our section. Again, don't like beer, so I was looking for maybe to see if they would
cider?
Sell. I think they did have a cider actually. Hmm. On the list, but they also were selling like glasses of wine, and I was like, granted, I love wine. No,
Ledman.
Listen, let me finish. I was like, I love wine, but I cannot be that guy. I was like, I cannot be buying like an $11 bottle or glass of wine at a football game.
Some stutter home to make you stutter home.
Yeah. So I just walk right by that. And I was hoping for some of those like mixed drinks in a can. I forget the name brand they have, but they have like
High Noon.
Different. No, they have like different rum drinks you can buy or margaritas in a can, but I didn't see any of those. Maybe they were on the other side of the stadium, but
nice little limerita.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't see any of those, so didn't get any purchases out of me there. But you know, it is just a kind of a bland horseshoe stadium. They've got some nice views as far as out of the back of the end zone. You can see their football building and the tunnel that they run out of. It's got like a turtle shell on top of it. So that's a nice little touch. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Mario.
Exactly. Although now Mario's voiced by Chris Pratt, so you have to sound less Italian.
Mario.
Exactly. Okay. You nailed it. You nailed it. But overall, a pretty great experience. Then after the game, after Purdue won, it's always fun when you're an opposing fan on the campus after your team wins.
Did you have a peacock strut?
A little bit of one.
Walking out of the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah,
feeling good about that failed 2-point conversion.
Exactly. Huh? So the another one of our college friends was there as well, and he's trying to go to a game at every Big Ten stadium, and this was the first time he'd been at Maryland. So he wanted to see the turtle because there is a big old turtle statue. There's a big turtle statue.
Statue.
Yeah. Not a real turtle.
Okay.
Outside of the Xfinity Center, and I was like, oh yeah, I know where that is. Yeah, just follow me. So we walked over to it, and you got to go up the stairs to get there. And he was like, oh, it's a lot smaller than it looks like on TV. I was like, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. This is the turtle. So we went up there, took some pictures. I put my Purdue hat on the turtle and we took some pictures and then went to a couple of bars afterwards. And again, you know, a lot of good Maryland fans talked to him. Didn't really have any trouble. Not a lot, you know, no shouting like get out of here or yelling. And it was a bunch of, you know, drunk college kids out as well. So really pleasant
to do with their time.
Yeah, really pleasant experience. Night. I guess so. But there were, you know, even a lot of Purdue fans out at the bars. Everybody was in good spirits. Talked to a lot of them. Had a real good time. So, you know, apart from parking, it was a real great experience.
All right. So it sounds like 3.5 stars.
Are we doing out of 4 or 5?
5.
I'd do 4 stars. I'd take away a full star for the parking, but other than that, top notch.
All right. Good job, Maryland. Purdue going to win the Big Ten Maryland. West now?
I don't know. I think we could. I mean, I don't think Illinois, I think, is not very good. Iowa still has literally the worst ranked offense in the country. Northwestern, clearly not good. Nebraska, we should be able to beat them. So I don't know.
Not been scared yet.
No, I think there's a real good chance that Purdue walks out of this with their own destiny.
Comes down to the Wisconsin game?
I mean, we may be able to even lose that game and still win the Big Ten West. Ooh, I don't know.
Complete collapse.
I don't know about complete collapse. I just think the Big Ten West is quite the struggle this year. So whoever wins might have a couple more losses. So do you think we can still win? Do you think we can
win? Why the hell not?
Exactly. That's pretty much how I feel.
I don't know what this team is. I don't know what we're doing here.
Yeah. I mean, no one does. No one does.
Boiler up.
Boiler up. There we go. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace. Thank you.